Praise the Lord. Message number 282. The title of the message is God's Conic Requirements, part 17. And we will speak in this message about the parable of the wedding banquet. Let's open our Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 22. And let's read from verse 1 to verse 13. Matthew 22 verse 1 to verse 13. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle had been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servant, mistreated them, and killed him. The king was enraged, and he sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servant, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. Thank you for this time, for your word that you always send to your church and to your people to teach us, to follow you, to teach us how to serve you, to help us in our ministry, and to lead us to raise up a new generation, a godly disciple who fear you, who follow your ways and your commands. I pray, Lord, that the purpose of sending this message shall accomplish, and let your word be reached to those who are waiting for it and those who are in need of this word of yours. I pray for this message to be a good seed for salvation, for healing, for wholeness, for hope, for revival, for repentance, for a baseline to raise up workers who will serve you wholeheartedly. Lord, anoint my lips and arrange the message in the way that you want it to flow. Put verses and a statement to direct your people and your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is our friend, and he is speaking here about the kingdom of God in a form of parable. He used the allegory of the wedding invitation. And we know that Jesus is the bridegroom, and we, his church, is the bride. And when Jesus will come again, we'll meet him in the air, and we'll be with him forever. And when we will meet him, then the wedding supper of the Lamb will take place. And that we can read in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. And let's read from verse 5 to 9 about the wedding supper of the Lamb. And that's it, you know, the parable that Jesus spoke. He spoke it to make everyone know that there is something that what he spoke, it will happen in the future. And from now on, the church should take the measures to implement his word, so that when things will come through according to what he say, the church and we, all of us, ourselves, will find ourselves with the Lord there. Book of Revelation 19, and let's read verse 5 to 9. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you servants, you who fear him, both great and small." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stand for the righteous acts of God's holy people." Then the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." You know, the Lord spoke this parable, and he was at that moment hitting the Pharisees who were opposing him. The King is God, the Father, who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the earth to bring to us the message of salvation when he died on the cross for our sin. The Pharisees rejected the Son, and that's why the Lord gave this parable to hit the Pharisees. And when the Lord came, he invited his people. And the Lord continued to invite his people by sending his servants. As we have read in the parable, he sent his servant once and twice to those who had been invited, those who had been called to the banquet. And when we know that the Jews are the people of God, and the Lord sent many prophets and servants, and finally sent his Son to invite them to the wedding banquet of the Lamb. Told them everything is prepared and ready. My oxen and fattened calf had been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet, you know. And that's what we need to do today. All of us, God's servant, and we need to go forward and invite the people to come to Christ. To come to Christ, to follow him, and to take him as king over their lives. And that's what Jesus was inviting the Pharisees to take. To take him as a king over their life. And in this way, when we are inviting the people to Christ, we are inviting them to the wedding supper of the Lamb that will take place in heaven when Jesus will come again. So those whom we are inviting today to come to Christ, to be part of his church, we are inviting them actually to the wedding supper of the Lamb that will take place when Jesus will come again. And when he will come, he will take us. He will take the church, those are ready. We who are ready, who are still alive, will take us. The church will be cast away in the air, and the wedding supper of the Lamb will start. Those whom we are inviting, they will be with us and celebrate together, being with the Lord and forever. So we are sent by the Lord to invite people. Everything is ready. Salvation is ready, had taken place. Christ died for our sin on the cross. He was buried. He rose from the dead to give us eternal life to those who repent and take him as king over their life and willing to follow him wholeheartedly. That is the message that God wants his church to proclaim. And we know that from the parable, the response to the invitation of the servants to the people who were invited was not good. Some of them, they refused to come. And every one of them had his own reason, and they refused to come. They were indifferent to the message because their personal things and plans, they gave more priority and importance than the response to God's call in their life. As we have read in verse 5, when you go and invite people, they'll make many excuses, but they paid no attention and went off. One to his field, one to his part-time, one to his job, one to his business, one to his family, one to his trip, one to his journey, one to his picnic, one to his basketball, football match, different reasons and excuses. and more, and as we have read in verse 6, and some of them were aggressive and persecuted God's servant. The rest seized his servant, mistreated them, and killed them. When you go and preach the gospel and invite people, you should not discourage when the people are not paying attention, or when the people prioritize other personal things over the call of God in their lives. You should not be discouraged. You may even be ill-treated or spoken bad, but you should not give up. And you need to focus on God and to continue to serve Him. The Israelites did the same with the prophets. They were indifferent to the message of God that He was sending them through His prophets and servants. They conspired against them and mistreated them. And finally, we know that they conspired against our Lord, and they crucified Him on the cross. The Lord was angry with His people, the Jews, who put the Lord Jesus Christ to the death. And what He did, as we know that in the 70 AD, the Romans army invaded Jerusalem and destroyed both the city and the temple. And that's what we have read. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. God judged the Jewish for their sins and their bad response to the message of Jesus. They did not respond to Him. And the Lord will continue to deal in the proper way and at the right time with those who do not respond to God's call in their lives. Why the Lord allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed in the temple? Because He wants to say that no more He will dwell in temple made by man, but He will dwell in us, we who give our life to Him and accepted Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. He will dwell in us as a temple for the Holy Spirit. But what is required of us is that the mission of God should continue, should not stop or end up with persecution, or end up when the people will not respond. It will not end up when people put other things in their priority and not the call of God. We read in verse 8 and 9, then He said to His servant, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come." Those truly whom we reach and teach and preach, they don't deserve to come. They don't deserve to be part of His church and His kingdom if they don't repent. In verse 9, "So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." Jesus, after His resurrection from the dead and before He ascended to heaven, He commissioned His disciples to go and preach the gospel and to make disciples of all nations, and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them everything that He commanded us to teach. And even to this day, the church is commissioned, and we are, me and you, are commissioned by the Lord and responsible before the Lord to go forward to preach the gospel and make disciples. We go together and we invite new people to follow Christ. We don't give up, and we do not discourage till everyone hear the good news of Jesus. That's why there are various church ministries that purpose to reach certain new people and to bring them to the knowledge of Christ. There's things that you need to know. The parable of the wedding banquet teaches us more things of how to respond to the calling of God. Now you need to know and to accept that when people come and accept the invitation, that does not mean that we are done. Even to those who are newly believing in Christ, they need to be taught, they need to be disciples, they need to be disciplined, and it is required from them to follow Christ wholeheartedly. The reason behind that, the Lord's criteria is not changed. Everyone who believes Christ should finally follow him wholeheartedly. And at the end, there is judgment. Some people, they say, at least I accept Christ, at least I believe. There are others who does not believe, I am better than them. No, that is not the end. That is not the end. Because even you accept Christ, even they accept Christ, but they need to follow him wholeheartedly. They should follow all his commands. They should obey him. Finally, they should be God's servant to go and make disciples. Because at the end, there's judgment. In the parable of the wedding banquet, we can read that even those who were responded to the invitation were scrutinized and were judged. You know, in verse 11 and verse 12, they say that, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He noticed, and we need to notice. We need to notice wrong things. We need to notice naughtiness. We need to notice disorder. And we need to interfere and correct. In verse 12, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. He asked him, how you get in here? Who allow you? Who told you that is the way? Who give you permission to do wrong? You see here the accountability. That picture about judgment, we should anticipate and apply measures in our service and ministry, that sin in the church mission and ministry needed to be addressed, scrutinized, and properly dealt with. See here the king noticed, and he inquired, how did you get in here without, who allow you, how you get it, which way, have you cheated, or they told you okay, and he called him a friend. Yes, Jesus is our friend, and we need to be faithful friends to be the people, to teach them the right way. That is important because final judgment is awaiting everyone. Even those who responded to the invitation, there will be scrutinizing and there will be judgment. For with God there is no favoritism. You know what God says in verse 13? Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of. Heaven is real and hell is also real. And we need to preach about them both. With the salvation of Jesus, repentance will bring us to heaven. But living in sin will bring us to hell. To hell. The message has an application even today for the church. We need this message. We need this word of God. Speaking about the application of this message on the life of the churches, we can say certain more points. Churches and souls of people rejoice with the salvation of Jesus. And we are privileged that we accept Christ and we are called Christian by his name. We are blessed. And we are better than the Jewish. We are better than the Muslims. We are better than the Hindu and the Buddhists and the rest who rejected Christ. You know, we are better. And many people, they want to reach those people because they did not accept Christ. That's correct. Our heart with those people who have not received Christ. And the point that we want to emphasize, that the first step that you receive Christ, you are better than those who rejected him. And that's what Jesus said. And he said to his servant, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Now for us, when we hear this, oh, thank you, Lord, that you call us, that you choose us, that we deserve to be with you. But that's not the end. Some Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, they will come, they say, I receive Christ. But that's not the end, that's just the beginning. They need to follow. The second point, churches, ministries, and ministers, and workers in the world to preach the gospel and to reach new people. And that's important. We need to evangelize. When Jesus says, so go to the street corner and invite to the banquet, anyone you find. That's where resources and material things are invested in reaching the lost. We need to be invested. TV, satellites, crusades, evangelism, and media, workers and ministry are all employed for this purpose, to reach new people and give them the message of Jesus. We need to continue to evangelize, not to give up. Pray and go forward. As we have read in verse 10, so the servants went out into the streets and gathered all people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests, bad and good, we invite. We don't know how we change, who will respond, but we need to go and invite. Evangelism. The third point is, churches should focus on discipleship and teaching them the ways of God and how to live in accordance to God's will, because judgment is coming sure. That's the picture that we have. The verse that we have read, that friend, how you get in here, that will happen. You know, and churches and ministers and workers should realize, every one of you should realize, that church meetings should not be directed toward activities, functions, programs, entertainment, and worldly purpose inside the ministry. You know, when God gives us the Holy Spirit gives us joy and peace, and revival and healing and well-being, but that was given to us not to enjoy it in a worldly way, in order to serve God in a proper concept. Everyone should realize that receiving Christ and not following Him is of no credit. The Holy Spirit and the gifts of God should be used to edify the church members. Churches, ministries, workers, and ministers should be aware that Jesus would deal strictly with His church and His disciples at the time of the final judgment. He will not deal with us softly. He will deal with us strictly. That's why from now we need to be ready in repentance, fearing the God, applying the scriptures, putting the wedding clothes, the white linen, the righteous acts of saints should be in our life. You know, the king called that person friend. Jesus is our friend. And He say, I no more call you servant, but I call you friend. And He say, anyone who obey my commands, whatever I command, he's my friend. And we need to be the friend of Jesus. And we need to show that to the people that we are reaching them. And we need to do what Jesus would do. We need to notice, as the king had noticed, wrong things. We need to notice and we need to speak. We need to admonish. You know, those who are friends of Jesus are the faithful disciples and ought to teach people the correct way of life and warn them not to sin because judgment is coming. You know, even if people would be angry with us, you know, and even if we cause them wounds, we still need to teach them and correct them to fit themselves into the Word of God. You know, when the king spoke to this man, he spoke to him in front of all the people publicly. He spoke to him publicly. He may get embarrassed. He was put to shame. He was humiliated. And even If people get embarrassed with us, put to shame and humiliated, we need to continue to do so because we are truly serving them and protecting them from falling into sin. Doing this way will bring benefit and blessing to the people. You know, in Proverbs chapter 27 verse 6, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, if you will not speak, will not admonish, will not correct, and if you will not notice, if you will not scrutinize, if you will not examine, if you will not rebuke, we are not doing good with the people. We are no more friends of Jesus who are obedient. God's word today gives you wisdom, give you understanding, and directing you to serve God's purpose with awareness that you should not give up. We should continue to preach, reaching new people. Continue to invite, continue to make disciples, admonishing them, correcting them, rebuking them, warning them. Even if there be some crisis or pain or embarrassment or ill feeling, for the sake of Christ, you need to bear it with love, with perseverance, with patience, knowing that this, what you are doing, will take a place in heaven. The parable that Jesus spoke to his church, spoke to us, spoke to the disciples at that time, the Pharisees, the Jews, everyone was hearing around him, and even was written in the Bible. And for us to be admonished, to be taught the right way, we need to take heed. Come to the Lord. Commit yourself, you know, to serve him in the proper way. Evangelism without disciples of no use. Inviting people without teaching them and correcting them is of no use. And also, church who does not evangelize are not doing well. We need to evangelize. We need to continue in their work, targeting certain people, evangelizing to them, reaching them with the gospel and the good news, with the word of God, with the message, with the admonishment, with the plan of God, teaching them God's will, God's purpose in their life. Come to the Lord. Tell him, Lord, I am willing to go forward in serving you. I am your servant, O God. Lord, I understood well your word. Thank you for your word that makes me understand what is going on around me. Lord, then Lord, I commit myself to the mission and the purpose that you are calling me to be part with. Lord, I pray for each and everyone who commit himself to serve you wholeheartedly. Equip, O God, give strength, give boldness. Provide and sustain them, O God, all their needs, so they continue to preach, continue to make disciples, continue to admonish, correct, and to warn about sin and about judgment coming when you come to take us with you. I pray, O God, that the purpose of sending this message, O Lord, shall accomplish, and that you will reap, O God, the fruit that you desire to see in the life of your servant, in the life of your church, and in the life of your people. I pray, O God, give me strength. Tell him, Lord, give me strength and boldness. Provide for me, Lord. Give me good health and protect me so I will continue, Lord, to serve you. O God, take this message to those who are in need of it. Take this message to those who are waiting to hear it. O God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Christ's name. Amen and amen.